Yesterday we left off with the kasha on the Rashba. I want to spend a few minutes today on that kasha on the Rashba, and then move on to discussing the issues of Demai and Tevel, Demai's appearance in our Mishnah and Tevel's absence from our Mishnah in regards to Esrog. Just a couple of quick points. First, this morning in my high school shiur, I was going through how to chart out all the different cases in the Mishnah. You know, the Hilchos Dalan Minim cases in the Mishnah versus the Hilchos Zrayim cases in the Mishnah, and the four categories of what's kasher l'chadchila, what's only kasher b'diavad, what's pasul, what's machlokas, and within each of those categories. And when you chart it out like that, make a nice chart with boxes and everything, you'll notice that there are a couple of boxes that actually remain empty. There is nothing in Hilchos Zra'im that the Mishnah mentions that's just straight out kasha l'chadchila. There's no din in Zra'im. The Mishnah talks about a lot of dinim in Zra'im. It talks about Orla, it talks about Trum Tahora, it talks about Trum Tmei, it talks about Tmei, it talks about a whole bunch of things, but there's no din in Zra'im that the Mishnah just says, you know what, this is just plain kasher. Kasha l'chadchila. That's what the one. If you were to make eight boxes, you know, on the side you have Zra'im issues, Dalad Minim issues, and then within each of those you have four possible outcomes: kasha l'chadchila, kasha b'diavad, pasul, or machlokas. There's nothing that's just straight kasha l'chadchila in the Zra'im side of things. Also noticeable is in the Hilchos Dalad Minim side of things, there is nothing that's kasha b'diavad. That l'chadchila is no good, but kasher b'diavad. So that when it helps when you chart things out. Sometimes it just helps you notice things that you otherwise never would have noticed. And there's a reason why those two boxes are empty. Both of them are interesting. The fact that both of those boxes, if you were to chart out our Mishnah, would be empty is interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, on the Hilchos Zra'im kasher l'chadchila side, maybe that tells you that anything that would fit in that box just doesn't get mentioned in our Mishnah. Meaning things that are kasha l'chadchila that relate to issues of Zra'im are so obviously kasha l'chadchila that it's just not going to get mentioned in our Mishnah. So maybe that's why that box remains empty. That's one point. And that's important to keep in mind when we discuss Tevel. Because Tevel's not mentioned in our Mishnah. The reason Tevel's not mentioned in our Mishnah is probably because it's obvious. Question is, it's obviously what? It's obviously kosher, or it's obviously pasul. So it could be that it's obviously kosher, and that's why it's not mentioned. Things that are obviously kosher don't get mentioned. Things that are obviously pasul do get mentioned. Things that are obviously kosher don't get mentioned. Right? So that's one thing to keep in mind. In terms of the other box that's missing any halachos, is in Hilchos Dalad Minim, we don't have anything that's kosher l'chadchila and pasul b'diavad. And for those who've been learning this parak from the beginning, can you think of any case in Lulav, Hadassim, Aravos, where you have a din in Hilchos Dalad Minim that something is kasher l'chadchila and pasul b'diavad? So there are two examples that my 11th graders actually were able to think of. I couldn't think of any. But there were two examples that they were able to think of. One is the example of, anyone here able to think of any of them? Anything that's kasher l'chadchila, pasul b'diavad, and Hilchos Dalad Minim. So one is, one of the boys thought of is Lulav Tzarech Eged, that according to one Shita in Tanayim, even though you don't need to bind the Lulav, but you should, mitzvah la'ogdo, but im lo ogdo kasher, there's a mitzvah to bind the Lulav, but if you don't do it, it's kasher anyway. That's one possible example. The other example is an asherah that's lav asherah de Moshe. A lulav shel avodah zarah. A lulav shel avodah zarah also, we said, best not to use, kasher b'diavad. Now, both of those examples, let's take the second one first. A lulav shel avodah zarah, best not to use, kasher b'diavad. Why is it best not to use it? Is that a din in dalad minim that it's best not to use a lulav shel avodah zarah? Why shouldn't you use a lulav shel avodah zarah? This you didn't have to be here for. Why shouldn't you use a lulav shel avodah zarah? What's the reason that it shouldn't be used? What do you think?
Tainted.
It's just gross. You can use a lulav shel avodah zarah. That's what you can use for a mitzvah. It's just not nice. It's not a din in dalad minim. It's a din in being a human being in the service of Hashem. It's not a din in dalad minim. The din that it's kasher, that it's lechadchila not recommended. The fact that it's kasher is a din in dalad minim. But within Dalet Minim, you're never going to find a din that's kosher l'chadchila, that's kosher b'di'evet, but not suggested l'chadchila. Within Dalet Minim, there's no such thing. It's only within the dinim of, you know, other things, within just like what's a nice thing to do, not a nice thing to do, by lulav tzarech eged, right? What do we say? According to the Shita, that a lulav does not need to be bound up, doesn't need to be tied, but you should tie it l'chadchila. If you hold it, why is that? What's the logic? So the Gemara says that the logic for that shita is that really lulav doesn't need to. In dinim of dalad minim, a lulav does not need to be tied up. You know why you would tie it anyway? Is a lechadchila din? It's not a din in dalad minim. That's a din in hiddur mitzvah. You want to have the nicest possible mitzvah. In hiddur mitzvah, so you have the nicest possible mitzvah. But when you're dealing with is this a kosher cheftza shel mitzvah or not, there's no such thing as a lechadchila in a bidiyavet. Which is reminiscent of the Shita of the Ritva. It's an example of the Shita of the Ritva that we mentioned last man, where the Ritva has a blanket statement that on dinim da'oraisa, on a cheftza shel mitzvah da'oraisa, you will never find l'chadchila and b'di'evet. It's good or it's bad. It's not maybe. You're never going to find l'chadchila and b'di'evet on a mitzvah da'oraisa. You only find it in the world of the Rabbanans, where the Rabbanans will say, okay, that's a little not nice to use that, a little shalvel d'zara. So midrabbanan, we suggest not to use it. But mida oraisa, it's good. There's only good and bad on the oraisa level. That's the chiddush of the Ritva. I don't think we did in the first semester, but it should be noted. We're not going to get a chance to do it now, but there is a piece in one of Rav Yosef Engel's Svarim, I forget which one, Nasfon D'Arais or Lekach Tov, where he challenges that assumption of the Ritva. He challenges that assumption that there's no such thing as a L'chadchila and a B'di'evet on a D'Araisa. If you remember when we did it, when I mentioned that Ritva, I said it didn't sound right, and I had questions, but none of them were really, I wasn't grounded in sources, it just didn't feel right to me. But Rav Yosef Engel is grounded in sources, and he gives Kedarko 17 examples or whatever of where you find a l'chadchila and a b'di'evet by a din d'oraisa. So that's just if Rav Shechter sometimes when he describes what he thought was so great about Rav Soloveitchik's shir, he doesn't describe towering lumdus like everybody else describes. When he describes the greatness of Rav Soloveitchik's shir, he says that sometimes you go into a gemara and it's just like a forest. Says it's a jungle. There's stuff all over the place. You don't know. Nothing belongs. Everything is like, things don't fit. Everything's not right. And he said, Salvation just had the way of just making everything clear and just making everything fit in its rightful place. And in general, in learning, that's a very important skill to have. Here you have this mission as a prime example. You have a mission that's just like rambling. It's got this halacha, that halacha, that halacha, pasul, kosher, b'di'evet, da, da, all over the place. Dina medal, minim, dina, everything just mixed together. So just to get some clarity on it, like charting it out helps a lot in this mission. And as you see, I think from just what we just mentioned over the last 5 minutes, that you see that certain things, certain ha'aros that you wouldn't notice otherwise, even though you could read every single line of the Mishnah, become clear once you're able to categorize things. And once you're able to put things in the rightful boxes and say, wait a second, why is that box empty? Why is that box empty? Why is that, right? That helps in terms of learning. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two is I want to get back to what we were doing yesterday a little bit with that Rashba. The Rashba, if you recall, was asked the Shaila, if someone decided for whatever reason, and I don't know what the reason might be, to take a neder that his lulav should be asur to him. So the Rashba was asked the Shaila, okay, he took a neder that his lulav should be asur to him, can he go ahead and use that lulav on Yom Rishon, on the first day of Yantiv? What would be the Svara Natu? So Svara Natu is Yom Rishon needs to be Lechem, it needs to be yours. And if he took a neder, then he's not allowed to get it out from it, so it's not really his because he can't use it. He has no connection to it. So therefore, maybe it should be no good. What's the Svara to say that it should be okay? So the Svara is Ibayit Shuli Aleh. He could always be Shoel on the neder, undo the neder, and have the ability to use that Lulav again, and that would make everything good again. That would make it his again. So not that he has to be shoal in it to be able to use it, but the fact that he has the ability, that he's got that ability in his back pocket, that whenever he needs it, he could make it mutterdim again, maybe right now, even before he's shoal on the neder, right now, that makes it his. That's enough to make it his. That was the shaila that someone asked the Rashba. So the Rashba said, it's an afna mishnah in Sukkah Lamed Daled Amud Beis. Because the Mishnah says that Truma Temeya is no good. Now, Truma Tameya, you also possess that same ability to be Shoel on it, to undo the Truma status. Even though you can undo the Truma status, apparently, we don't think that's enough to make it yours right now. The fact that you can eventually undo the Truma status is not enough to make a difference for you right now. So Hu Hadin, the Rashba says, the same should be true when it comes to a neder. The fact that I can undo the neder later doesn't make it mine right now. Very simple equation. Meaning the Rashba was just basically asked, is the fact that I have the ability to make something mutter, does that affect right now? So the Rashba's answer is, no, it doesn't. And my raya is, Truma Tameya, you also have the ability to undo the Truma status later, and still, right now, it's possible. So the same thing is true by a neder. So the kasha we left off with on the Rashba was that the Rashba seems to be against an explicit Gemara in Maseches Nedarim. We pointed out that the Rashba was not the first one to associate Truma to Neder. He was not the first one to make that connection of Truma to Neder. The Gemara itself made that connection, tried to compare the two of them, and the Gemara said there's a fundamental difference between being Shoel on Truma and being Shoel on a Neder. And that fundamental difference is, the Gemara says, that having a neder, an outstanding neder, is a bad situation. You never want it. It's always bad to have a neder. And therefore, you should always undo whatever nedarim you have. Mitzvah l'tshulele. It's a mitzvah to go and undo any nedarim that you have. The Gemara quotes the expression that appears several places in Nedarim and Nazir, that someone who's noder is ki'ilu bana bama, someone who takes a neder, it's as if he built a bama, which is not a good thing. During Zman Isser Bamos, there are different times in history when we were allowed to have a bama, not allowed to have a bama, assuming it's like you built a bama when you're not allowed to. And if a person is mekayim a neder, keeps the neder going, it's as if he was maktir on the bama, as if he brought a carbon on the bama. Bad thing to have a neder. So therefore, there's a mitzvah to undo the neder. When it comes to truma, yes, you have the ability, you have the power to undo the truma, but it's never recommended to do that. Now you might say, well, why not? Maybe it should be recommended. When it's truma tameya, isn't that the best option? If you have truma that's tamei, right, the best option, l'chora, should be to just undo it and then replace it with something that's tahar. And then the kohen will be allowed to eat the truma tahara. What was truma tameya will become chul in its tamei, which is fine, you're allowed to eat that. Right, l'chor, it should be an option, but for whatever reason, the Gemara assumes no. There's never an option to do that. There's never a suggestion that that's the right thing to do. We never suggest that, you know what, get rid of this truma status. For whatever reason, we never do that. So that's a fundamental difference between truma and neder. So asks the Shara Ephraim. Shara Ephraim is not just one of these Minchas Pinchas, whatever Achronim from Borough Park. You know, Shara Ephraim was. If there is a Sefer Minchas Pinchas out there, I apologize to the author. I don't mean to make fun. I'm just saying it's not just like one of these Achrone Achronim. The Shara Ephraim was a fairly early Achron, 17th century Achron. He was a contemporary of the Shach. He was the Rebbe of the Chacham Tzvi. He was a Gavra. So Shara Ephraim asks on this Rashba, he says, Rashba is against the Gemara. The Rashba says, oh, look, if by Truma Tameya, the fact that I could undo it is meaningless to me, right now it's not mine, therefore the fact that I could undo it doesn't make a difference, so the same should be true by a Neder. Says Shara Ephraim, no. By Truma Tameya, the fact that I could undo it is meaningless to me because I'm never going to undo it because there's never a requirement or even a suggestion to undo it. By a neder, the fact that I could undo it is meaningful to me because I'm supposed to undo it and I'm likely going to undo it because if I'm a good mitzvah boy, that's what I'm supposed to do. So how can you compare the two? Truma tameya might be possible because I'm never going to undo the truma status. A neder should be kosher though because I will undo the neder status. I will because that's what I'm supposed to do. Mitzvah l'tshulele. That's what the Shara Ephraim's kash on the Rashba is. If you look in the Shara Ephraim, the source of Mereit, in the beginning of the second paragraph, he says, Divrei Rashba b'tshuvazu niflaim yimeni yitzrichim nagar laholmo. That the Rashba in this tshuva is beyond me to understand, and you need, he uses a Talmudic expression, you need a carpenter to be able to chisel away at getting an understanding of this Rashba. It doesn't really translate well. It's an expression. Whatever you need some good work. You need a professional to really get to this Rashba. But then he says, and my kashas on the Rashba are twofold. Iba yisema gemara V'bayisem asvara. Also a Talmudic expression, except he corrupted a little bit. A lot of times the Gemara will say, I can prove something to you, v'bayisem akra, v'bayisem asvara. I can prove it to you from pasuk, or I can prove it to you from a svara. Over here, he's saying, he's commenting on the Rashba, and he's saying, I could prove it to you from the Gemara, or I could prove that the Rashba is wrong from the Gemara, or I could prove that the Rashba is wrong from the Svara. So basically, that's his way of saying, I have two kashas on the Rashba. First kasha on the Rashba is the one we just said, that it's against the Gemara. That the Gemara distinguishes between Truma, on the one hand, where there's no requirement or even suggestion that you be Shoel on it, versus a Neder, where there is a requirement slash suggestion. More than a suggestion, a little short of a requirement, a mitzvah to be shoel on the neder. That's his kasha from the Gemara, and that's the rest of that paragraph. In the next paragraph, he says a second kasha, kasha misvara. He says, here's the real difference between being shoel on truma and being shoel on neder. Just think logically. If I take a neder that this, I'm never going to get hanar from this recorder again, right? Let's say I take such a neder. So this recorder becomes asur to me, and then I'm shoel on the neder. What's the status of that recorder once I'm shoel on the neder? It's mine, it's mutter, totally fine, right? I have 100 bushels of wheat. I make two of them truma, and then I'm shoel on the truma. I undo the truma status. What's their status now? What happens to those two bushels? Tevel. They don't become okay. Tevel's usher also. They remain usher to me. If I had an esrog of tevel, would I be Yotze? We don't know. The Mishnah doesn't say. But let's assume no for a second, just for the sake of argument. Let's assume I can't be Yotze with an Esrog of Tevel. Right? So what does Rashba want to tie now? Look, by Truma, even though you have the ability to be Shoel on it, still you can't use it right now. Maybe that's because even if I was Shoel on the Truma, I still wouldn't be allowed to use it. It would just revert to being Tevel. And I still wouldn't be allowed to use it. How can you compare that to a neder where I have the ability to be shoel on it, and if I take advantage of that ability, if I am shoel on it, what's going to happen to it? It's going to become mutter. That's a major difference. So how can the Rashba compare the two? He says, when it comes to Truma, the fact that I have the ability to be shoel and it doesn't help me, it's still possible. So the same must be true by a neder. The fact that I have the ability to be shoel and neder doesn't help me, it must still be possible. No! By Truma, it's still possible, because even if I were shoel on it, it would be possible. It doesn't help me to be shoel. By neder, if I were shoel, at least it would make it kosher. At least then it would be okay. So the ability to be shoel on neder is so much stronger than the ability to be shoel on truma. That's his second kasha on the Rashba. Two kashas on the Rashba. Now in the Tshuvas Panim Me'iros, he tries to suggest terutzim. And let's just read a little bit. The shoel, at least, suggest the beginning of a teretz, and then we'll leave aside this Rashba and we'll move on to Demai and Truma issues. Demai and Tevel, rather. Take a look at source number 10, Tshuvas Panim Me'iros. He quotes the Kash of the Shaar Ephraim on the Rashba. Look at source in source number 10, line 4. It says, Va'ana gavra kachazina v'tiyuf talo kachazina. You gotta love the language of Achronim. The language is so beautiful. He says, I see a big man here in the Shaar Ephraim, but I don't really see a Kasha. Sharei l'divrei harbei poskim yotze betevel k'moch kasa marsha. Right there you have your answer. So the Shaar Ephraim is assuming something in asking that second kasha. He doesn't answer the first kasha. Second kasha. In that second kasha, misvara, where he said, look, by truma, even if I was sholan, it would still be usher. Yeah, that's because you're assuming, and this is our segue into the devil discussion, that's because you're assuming that tevel would be usher to use. Where does it say that? In fact, most poskim assume tevel is totally kosher. So, we're not going to make any sense of this discussion until we start discussing tevel, until we start figuring out what the status of tevel is. So that's our segue. That little Rashba, I thought, was a nice way to segue into our discussion of tevel. Another, we'll do a double segue, because the other segue into the discussion of tevel is through Demai. The Mishnah does talk about Demai. Demai is the closest thing you have to Tevel. Why is Demai the closest thing you have to Tevel? Because it's something you have to be mafresh and give to Levim or whatever, and the Levi give to a Kohen, etc. and then it becomes mutter. So it's really the closest thing you have to tevel, right? That's is the mai. So the Mishnah doesn't talk about tevel, but it talks about something that's somewhat close to tevel. So the question is a double question. Number one, what is the halacha by tevel? And number two, why does the Mishnah not say it? Or you could say it in reverse order, whichever way you want to say it. Good? So depending on how you understand the machlokas by demai, it will strongly influence what our understand what the halacha should be by tevel, what our conclusions are going to be by tevel. So if you look in the Ritva, source number 12, this is the most important maramakma, I would say, in understanding demai and therefore its impact on tevel. The Ritva, source number 4, quotes a Yesha Pirish, which happens to be the sheet of the Ra'ah. Again, by demai, what did the Mishnah say? Demai fit into our category of Zra'im related issues that are a machlokas. Because there's machlokas, Bisham Besil, Bisham said no good, Pasul, Besil said kosher. So, again, background about demai, I think we mentioned yesterday that demai, because most Amoratsim really do give Trumas Maestros, and really on a Daraisa level, you have every right to assume when you buy produce from an Amoratsim, the Trumas Maestros have in fact been taken off. So by demai, it's only a Din Rabbanan that you need to be mafreshit. And the Rabbanan instituted several kulas in that. They allow an ani to eat demai, and they also allow an oreach. I don't know if I mentioned that. They allow a traveler, a guest, to eat demai. And the assumption is that an oreach has the status of an ani. Because if you don't have access to your money, even if you're traveling, or you don't have access to food, so then you're an ani. You don't have food on the table. Even though you have millions of dollars in a bank account somewhere, but if you don't have access to it, that makes you an ani. Rav Shechta told us when we were learning this Mishnah in Shir that he saw Rav Gurelik, Zecharo Livracha. Rav Gurelik was one of the old Rosh Yeshiva in YU, was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. He was like the least YU Rosh Yeshiva. He hated YU. He was like very vocal about how Torah Mad was terrible, and you know, he was his children to this day deny that he ever taught in YU. He was only Rosh Yeshiva there for 35 years. So Rav Gurelik, Zecharo Livracha, was a Rav in the Bronx. Shach said that when he was in the Shir, he used to go to Rav Gurelik's Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, or they would walk from YU to Rav Gurelik's shul for the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha or Shabbos Hakol Drasha or whatever. So it was a long walk from YU to the Bronx. So after Shabbos was over, they wanted to get a taxi home, but they didn't have any money. So Rav Gurelik went to the shul's pushka, he took out tzedakah money, and he said, "You're aniyim." I said, "But we're not aniyim." He said, "Now you are. You don't have any money." So they have a din of an ani. That's the same din with an oreach when it comes to demai. Why is an oreach allowed to eat demai? Because he's an ani. That's the way Rov Rishonim understand it. It could be that there's a separate answer, but that's the way Rov Rishonim says. He applied that lemaisa. The halacha is though by tzedakah though when you get your money back, when you get access to your money again, that you're supposed to pay back. You're supposed to pay the tzedakah back, but you're allowed to use the tzedakah funds for that time period. Anyway, so when it comes to demai, we have machlokes b'sham b'sil. What's behind the machlokes b'sham b'sil? What's the psul of demai? So remember, yesterday I told you to think about what tevel really is in general. When I have 100 bushels of wheat, is it that I really only have 78 bushels of wheat, and the kohen has 2, and the levi has 10, and the ani has 10? Or is it that I have 100 bushels of wheat, I just happen to have a chiyuv to give some, like my money before I give tzedakah, I just have a chiyuv to give some to other people? Or is it that I have nothing, I have zero, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will give me 78 as soon as I give the Kohen, the Levi, and the Ani their portion? Those are the three ways to look at Tevel that I was able to think of. Within the tzad that I have 78, you could look at it a different way. You could look at, not that I have 78, but I have 78% of each bushel. I have 78% of each stalk. Right? I have a 78% partnership in the tevel, which is a little different than saying that I have 78 fruits. Because if I have 78 fruits out of or 78 bushels out of the 100, then you're dealing with halachos of tarovis, of what do you do when things get mixed together? Do you follow a majority? Yavish b'yavish. But if you're saying that I have a 78% ownership of it, so it's not a tarovis, it's not that thing, it's just that I'm a part owner of it, and someone else is a part owner of it. So take a look at the Ritva. So the Ritva quotes Yesh Pirish, that why does Beis Shammai have a problem with using Demai? Because Yesh Bo Chelek L'Kohen U'Levi L'Yisrael. because I get some of it, the Kohen gets some of it, the Levi gets some of it, and therefore it's just like an Esrog Shul Shutvin. It's like an Esrog that's owned by partners, where you can't be Yotze, where nobody can be Yotze, because nobody is the owner. Good? So it's an Esrog Shul Shutvin. You see very clearly, according to that analysis, that the way Beis Shammai views, according to the first day in the Ritva, the way Beis Shammai views Tevel is very clearly that I own part of it and the Kohen owns part of it. It's not a new shame. It's I own part of the Kohen owns part. Why does Beis Hillel think it's okay? Because Beis Hillel says, you're right, it's Shel Shutvim right now, but I have the ability to make it all mine. I have the ability to take full ownership of it. How can I take full ownership of it? If I just become a poor person, then I'm allowed to eat it. I don't have to share it with anybody. I don't have to give to the Kohen, to the Levi. Kohen is lav dafka over here, because you don't have to give truma to the from Demai. We mentioned yesterday, Amei Aretz are careful about truma. So, you know, unless he means the Trumas Meiser that the Levi gives to the Kohen. So maybe the Kohen has that chelik in it or something, but very minimal that belongs to the Kohen. But anyway, why does Beis Hillel say it's okay? Since I can make myself an Ani, how can I make myself an Ani? Just be mafkir all my possessions. I can be mafkir all at one time. My house, my yacht, my white Hyundai, whatever I want, everything that I own in this world, I'll be mafkir, and then mail, I'll be an Ani. Right? So that's... That ability makes it that it's okay for me. Now, if that's the case, what would the halacha be by Tevel? So if that's the lumdus by Demai, that Beis Hillel says, I could make it mine just by being mafkir, and therefore it takes away the shutvin status. So what would be the halacha by Tevel? Everyone would agree, puzzle. Because I can't make Tevel okay for me. An ani is not allowed to eat Tevel. An ani is allowed to eat Demai. Tevel's totally off limits for the poor person. I can't make Tevel okay for me. So Tevel, according to that, would for sure be possible. So why is Tevel not mentioned in the Mishnah? Because it's Pashut. Pashut Aser. It's not mentioned because it's Pashut that it's Aser. There's no reason why it should be Mutter. That's what it would seem. However, the Ritva says another reason that Tevel's not mentioned in the Mitva, in the Mishnah. The Ritva says it's not mentioned in the Mishnah because it's yes, it's possible that it's possible, but it's really only possible for one day. Because it's only psulun lachem. It's psulun shutfin. So it's really only possible for one day. That's why Tevel is us. And we don't mention things in the Mishnah that are only possible for one day, which is a major statement. That means everything else in the Mishnah is really possible all 7 days. Right? We don't mention things in the Mishnah that are only possible for one day. Then the Ritva asks on himself, that's not true. If the problem of having shutvas is a lachem din, and that's only for one day, and we don't mention things that are only for one day, we do mention demai in the Mishnah, and demai, although Beis Hillel says it's kosher, which obviously means all 7 days is kosher, Beis Shammai says it's pasul. And what was the reason we just explained Beis Shammai says it's pasul? Because of shutvin. It's owned by the Kohen Levi Yisrael at the same time, which means that it's only pasul when? On the first day. And yet that gets mentioned in the Mishnah, even though it's only possible the first day. So says the Ritva, that's because it's only Beis Shammai. So for Beis Shammai, which we're not going to accept anyway, so his halacha is a one-day halacha, but Beis Hillel, who disagrees, is saying a seven-day halacha. Tevel, even Beis Hillel would hold, is only a one-day halacha. And that's why we don't mention it. For Beis Shammai, since we don't care so much about Beis Shammai, so we're not going to be so makbid to leave out Beis Shammai's one-day halachas from the Mishnah. Because Beis Hillel, on that same case where Beis Shammai says it's possible for one day, Beis Hillel says it's kosher for all 7 days. Okay, it's a dochak kind of way of the Ritva getting out of it. You could just say that it's pashut. Tevel's not mentioned because it's pashut. Not because it's only one-day halacha. They yelled that it was pashut. Now, you might not want to say it's Pashut, because there's a reason to argue the other way, also by Tevel. Says Ritva Vayter, that the Ramban, is the Ritva using his Rebbeim, his colleagues over here, right? The Ramban was his Rebbe, the Ra'ah is his contemporary. So the Ritva says, for now, the Ra'ah was Rebbe also, Ramban was his grand Rebbe, his Rebbe's Rebbe. Says the Ritva, that the Ramban asks the Kasha why we don't have Tevel mentioned in our Mishnah. And he just gave an example. He says, after all, when it comes to what you're allowed to use for matzah, and it started discussing all the all the Zra'im related possibilities of where the grains came from with matzah, it does mention Tevel by matzah. And what's the halacha, by the way? It says lo b'tevel. You're not allowed to use Tevel for matzah. Right, so by matzah it does mention Tevel. Why doesn't it say Tevel over here? So he says, he says that the reason it doesn't mention Tevel is because Tevel is for sure lachem. It's for sure okay. It's pashut that it's mutter. Why is Tevel pashut mutter? Because yes, there's a shutfus in it. In every esrog of Tevel, I only own 78% of it. But if I want, I could easily make myself the full owner. How? I can't be mafkir my nechasim. That's not going to help because the poor person's not allowed to eat Tevel either. He says, I'll give you an example. There is a halacha in Hilchus Yerusha, in Maseches Bava Basra. If a father dies and leaves three children, three sons, let's say, girls don't get Yerusha, three sons in Hilchus Yerusha, whatever, there are ways around it, but three, a father dies and leaves three sons. So what's the halacha? How many portions do they divide the estate up into? You know, trick question. What?
It's double to the...
Right, so they divide the estate into four portions. If there are three sons, they divide it into four portions, give the oldest son two, and the each other son one portion, right? So let's say the father left his esrog orchard, and there are 1,000 esrogim in the orchard, and I, the second son, or whatever, the guy who's the second Reuven, Shimon, the second son, owns 25% of each esrog, so every esrog is an esrog shel shutfin. So can you be yotzi with the esrog? Says the Gemara, yeah, he can. You know why? Because he can easily say, let me have this esrog, you take that one, you take those two, you know, ben habachar, achi ha-gadol, you take two, achi ha-katan, you take one, and I'll take one. We're not going to cut up each esrog into four pieces. That's ridiculous. So I could easily be misalik you. I can make you go away by just giving you full esrogim. I'll take a full esrog for myself, and everyone will be happy, and that's the way we'll deal with it. So since you have the ability to do that, you can make this yours very easily by being misalik the other people, by giving them their portions. Well, you could do that by Yerusha. You could vaday do that. You could certainly do that when it comes to Trumas and Maisras, when it comes to Tevel. Not only can you do it, you're supposed to do it by Tevel. You're supposed to give the Kohen his portion, the Levi his portion, the Ani his portion, and then the 78 remaining things are yours 100%. So that's why by Tevel it's pashut that it's okay. Meaning, if you think about it, it's the same reason that by Demai it's okay. Same reason that we suggested before that Beis Hillel holds Demai is okay. Demai is, I can make it okay. How can I make it okay? By being mafkir by nechassim, becoming an ani. Well, Tevel I could also make okay. Not by being mafkir by nechassim, but by dividing up, you know, who gets what, and therefore keeping a full portion for myself. And therefore, it doesn't mention a psul. Now, meaning it doesn't mention a psul because it's vaday kasher. Now, why would Beis Shammai say that it's possible? Say that Demai is possible? Meaning, the way the Ramban presents this is that even Beis Shammai would agree that Tevel is kasher. Because I can always be misalik the Kohen and Levi and make the 78 of them mine, make this esrog that I want to use mine. So why would Beis Shammai say Demai is worse than that, that Demai would be possible? So he has a creative approach that maybe it's not talking about regular Demai, it's talking about Trumas Meiser Shel Demai. Fine, I want to leave that aside for now for a moment. What I'm interested in over here, what I'm most interested in over here, I mean, is the following. He works with the assumption that there's, or at least he says explicitly, not just works with the assumption, that there is an idea of shutfus in Tevel. That when I have Tevel, it's not that I have Tevel, it's that I have some truma, some meiser, and some chulin all mixed together. Is that true? Is that how to view Tevel? Maybe Tevel, when I have my 100 bushels, I have something called an Isser Tevel. They're all mine, in terms of Dinim Mamonis. They're all Usser to me, because they're all Tevel. Every single last one of them, 100% of my crop is Tevel. Then, once I give to the Kohen, Truma and to the Levi Meiser Rishon and to the Ani Meiser Ani, and I keep that makes the Isra of Tevel go away from all 100 of them. Tevel is gone. The Meiser Rishon is now Meiser Rishon, which is totally different than Tevel, and it's not even Aser to me. It's just that I owe it to the Levi. The Truma is not Tevel, it's still Aser to me, but not Tevel. What is it? It's Truma. Separate Shem Isser. And the other stuff that used to be Tevel is just Chulin. So Tevel goes away. Before there was an Isser Tevel, that one all goes away. That's how I always imagine Tevel works. That Tevel disappears when you do your mitzvos. But he's saying no. That when it comes to Tevel, I have a shutvus with the Kohen and the Levi, which makes it sound like that when it comes to Tevel, I don't have 100 bushels of Tevel. What I have over here is a mixture of Truma and Meiser, and because there's a mixture of Truma and Meiser, whatever over here, that makes it that practically I'm not allowed to eat any of them, because all of it might be, some any given piece might be Truma or Meiser. That it's Truma and Meiser is Me'urav Bo, is mixed in there. And that's why I can't have it. Not that it's a separate Shem Isra of Tevel. It's the Isra of Trumas Maestros. That Isra of Trumas Maestros happens to be mixed in here. That's what it sounds like. Now, there's a famous Chakira that everyone says from Rav Yosef Engel that people like to say over. And if you look at Rav Yosef Engel, you'll see it's almost like an afterthought. That his real Chakira was really just the exact opposite. The Chakira people say over from Rav Yosef Engel is, how is one supposed to view Tevel? Is Tevel, like we just said, it's a Chakira we just said, is Tevel its own Shem Isser? Or is Tevel just Truma mixed in with Chulin, and therefore I can't do anything because it's all mixed together? Right? Is Tevel its own Isser? Is Tevel just a mixture of Chulin and Truma? And therefore I'm stuck. Can't do anything until I separate out the Truma. That's what they say over from Rav Yosef Engel. That Chakira. If you look in Rav Yosef Engel, let's take a look. In Asfon D'Araisa, it's in the back of your packs, Klal Beis in Asfon D'Araisa. That is not his original Chakira. He comes around to that Chakira. But his original Chakira, the truth is, I never thought of it this way, but you understand why it might be more logical than the Chakira that he actually does say. His original Chakira is actually, which Isser comes first, Tevel or Truma? Chronologically, what happens first? Something becomes Tevel or becomes Truma? Tevel, right? So think about this for a second. What's more logical to say? That there's no Isser really called Tevel, it's just that there's Truma mixed into it? Or is it more logical maybe to say that there's no Isser called Truma, it's just that Isser Tevel never went away from those bushels that I gave to the Kohen? The Isser of Tevel was there first. Right? It might be more logical to view it the other way. That Tevel, that's a real Isser. And you know what happens when I give 2 bushels to the Kohen and 10 to the Levi, whatever, the Isser of Tevel goes away from the stuff I'm keeping. The Isser of Tevel goes away from the Maaser Rishon, but the Isser of Tevel stays on the Truma. And that's why I'm not allowed to have it. That's why Truma is Aser to Azar, because that Isser of Tevel never went away. Tevel's Aser to Kohen, also Truma's Mutter to Kohen. Yeah, the Isser Tevel went away for the Kohen, didn't go away for me. Just like the Isser Tevel went away from the rest of my stuff, so for the Kohen, the Isser Tevel went away from the Truma, but the Isser Tevel stayed on the Truma. Everyone says over the Chakira of Yosef Engel, how do you view Tevel? Is Tevel its own Isser, or is Tevel Truma Me'urav Bo? Rav Yosef Engel's real Chakira is, how do you view the Isser of Truma? For a Zar, for a non-Kohen. Is Truma its own Shem Isser, a separate Isser? Or is Truma just a continuation of Tevel? The Tevel never went away from it, and therefore it's Aser to me. That's the Lumdus that he really works on before he reverts to the more set over Chakira. That's the Lumdus that he works on. How do you view Truma? So I was talking to Rabbi Kamenetsky at a chasana last night, and I was sitting next to him at the table, so I mentioned this from Rav Yosef Engel to him. And he's like, why would you say either one? Just say Tevel is a shame Tevel, Truma is a shame Truma. Well, it sounds It sounds like they're two totally separate things. What would lead you to want to say that, oh, Tevel is because there's Truma Murva, or Truma is because it's a continuation of Tevel? It doesn't sound like that at all from any of the, you know, just from learning through Mishnayos and just, you know, the sugyas here. It sounds like Tevel is an Isser that happens before you're Mafresh anything. Once you're Mafresh everything, okay, now we're no shame Isser. Tevel's gone, now there's something new. Why would you, what would lead you to say such a lamdas? Or Lamay Nafkamina in this lamdas? And what difference does it make? So Rav Yosef Engel has several, like you would expect. Question?
I'm saying, why can't you say that would help us answer the kashya we had in our Mishnah? That's why Tevel is Tevel, because it's just under the category of Truma.
Ah, right. So that's one thing that would be helpful for us. Good. That would be enough kamina in the lamdas. That's not really enough kamina. It's more like an explanation. You know, of, it would help answer Akasha. It would help answer Akasha. Rav Yosef Engel suggests the following. He says, take a look in Klal Beis about in the right hand column, about five lines before the end of the column. He quotes a Tosfos in Yevamos. He quotes it word for word, so I don't think, like, I didn't make a separate source out of Tosfos in Yevamos. He quotes Tosfos in Yevamos, Samach Vav and Beis. Dibur Maskel Ella. Over there, the Gemara says the truma asur lezar b'hanah shel kilui, that a zar is not allowed to get hanah from truma in a way that's going to ruin the truma. I mean, there are two ways you can get hanah from something. Let's say I have an apple that's truma, so I can get hanah by smelling it, if it happens to smell good, right? But that doesn't ruin the apple. There's no isra hanah in truma, so that would be totally fine. If I have truma that smells good, I can smell it all day. Another way I might want to get hanah from it without eating it is I may want to use it as firewood. I'm trying to warm up by a fire. I need to throw something in the fire, so I throw the apple in the fire. So that it's giving the apples, then giving me hana. But that's a worse kind of hana, because that's not just giving me hana, it's ruining the truma. Right? It's hana shel kilui. So the Gemara over there says that a non-Kohen is not allowed to get hana shel kilui from truma. So Kosveim Zal Toso says, why? Why are you not allowed to get hana shel kilui from truma? The Gemara in Shabbos derives that you're not allowed to get Hanah Shel Kilui from Tevel, derives it from Sukkim. So the Kihechi, the Alfinan Lesser, Tevel, Hanah Shel Kilui, Hachinami, Alfinan Lesser, Zubitruma. The Mishas Harama, Lohutra, Elulukohanam, Avaloli Israel. Listen to that Lashon. That Lashon is critical. He says, if I'm not allowed to get Hanah Shel Kilui from Tevel, so I can't get enough for Shel Kilui from Truma either. You know why? Because what happened when Tevel turns into Truma? The Isser doesn't go away for the Zar. For the non-Kohen, it was Asur as Tevel, it remains Asur as Truma. So that same Isser is still there. It only became Mutter for the Kohen. It only changed for the Kohen. For the Zar, it's the exact same thing. Whoa. That language. For the Zar, it's the exact same thing? Rabbi Kamenetsky was telling me last night, Misvara! You would say that Tevel is one Isser, that Isser is gone now, and now there's a new Isser on me, and that is Truma. It's not the exact same thing at all. But Tos such a Lashon that, of course, whatever halachos apply to Tevel carry forward for Truma, because it's the same Isser. Sounds like he assumes that what's the Isser of Truma? The Isser of Truma is that it's just Tevel that never became Mutter for me. Why is Truma Asr to a Zar? Because it's Tevel that never had a Heter. Lazarim, the underlying part, Isr Tevel Shabo Bimakoma Omeid. Varezim Mifurish Kitvarenu Anal. Exactly like I wanted to suggest, says Rav Yosef Engel. In the footnote in Kuntras Achron, he has another Raya. Gemar Zvachan Dav Kuv Vavan Beis says, Truma Lohutra Michlala. That Truma is not Hutra Michlala. What does that mean, not Hutra Michlala? That there's net in the category of Truma, in the Isser of Truma, you never find a Heter. For anyone who has the Isser of Truma, you don't find that that person is ever going to have a Heter to have Truma. You never find that there's an exception to the rule by Truma. Nothing ever changes about it. It's Asr to a Kohen to begin with, and it remains Asr to a non-Kohen to begin with, and it remains Asr to a non-Kohen. There's never an exception to the rule by Truma. It never changes and becomes Hutar, says the Gemara in Zvachan. Says Rav Yosef Engel, this is a Mufurish Araya to me. Why? or Mefurish Raya against me. He says, think about this. If Truma is an extension of the Yisra of Tevel, when it's Tevel, who's it Asr to? Everybody. Kohen and Yisrael, right? Alike. Then it becomes Truma. If you assume it's an extension of that same Yisra, what just happened? It became Mutter for Kohanim. It was Hutter Mechlala. But the Gemara says, no, Truma is not Hutter Mechlala. Right? That makes it sound like, if it's not Hutter Mechlala, that it's a new shame when it comes to Truma. It's not just an extension of the Tevel. If it was an extension of the Tevel, then it became Mutter. It went through a transformation. But if you assume that it's a new shame Isser, so then it never went through such a transformation. So he says, V'yineimah de'isser truma mitam tevelu, she'isra tevel sheba hutra l'kohen v'lo l'zor, imkein shabar roish yuchshav hutra michlalo. If truma is a din that it has tevel, that it is just a continuation of tevel, then it is hutra michlalo mashu muteris l'kohen. Given she tevel stam asa l'kohen, because now it's muter to a kohen, and tevel stam is asa to a kohen. As opposed to if you say that Truma is a separate Isser, it's a new Shem Isser, then you understand very well that you're going to say it's not Hutra Michlala. Because that Isser never changed. That Isser never went through any transformation. So it's a Raya in the other direction. The Bikiyas and Shas is remarkable. In Kach. Now he's dealing with this Raya Sugya. His Rayas are from Taisus and Yevamis and the Gemara and Zvachan. You've got to remember that when we get to the Daf. Up soon. Then he says, okay, I brought you a raya one way, a raya the other way. I'll show you it's really a machlokas. It's a machlokas, what? Not a machlokas rishonim, it's a machlokas amarayim. Tanayim, maybe. No, amarayim. It's a machlokas, but not in Talmud Bavli. It's in Talmud Yerushalmi. Machlokas in Yerushalmi, Shabbos, second parak, halacha hey. What does it say in the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi has a machlokas, Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kapara. About a zar sheshimesh b'shabbos. What do you think that means? What does it mean, zar sheshimesh b'shabbos? Zar is a non-kohen. So what's a non-kohen not allowed to do? He's not allowed to do avoda in the base of Mikdash. Right? Let's say he does on Shabbos. So now, a zar sheshimesh is definitely bad. That's an isser. Nisr d'oraisa. Usually slaughtering things on Shabbos is an isser d'oraisa. Except we bring karbanos in the base of Mikdash on Shabbos. Right, bring carbon muscle, bring tamish shachar, tamish later. Right? We bring tons of carbonos on Shabbos in the base of Mikdash. Right? Why is that mutter? Because for the avoda we're matir. Right? We allow doing the avoda. What if a zar does the avoda on Shabbos in the base of Mikdash? What avera did he do? So one is an easy one, right? What avera did he do? Well, one thing that he definitely did is what a non-kohen doing the avoda, the same as any other day of the week. What other potential avera might he have done? Being mechal Shabbos. Do you say that it's called that he's Mechal Shabbos? Or do you say, no, Avodah's okay on Shabbos. So this isn't Chil Shabbos. It's just that he's a Zar that's doing the Avodah, that's the problem. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, no, Avodah's okay on Shabbos when it's okay, when it's a good Avodah. When you're a non-Kohen, what are you doing the Avodah for? That's not okay, and therefore, Mele, it's Chil Shabbos. Right? That's like Shchutei Chutz. I can't Shecht a carbon and say, oh, it's a carbon. What do you mean? You're in Woodmere. That's not a carbon. That's Chil Shabbos if you shecht it. So that's the Shaila. So it says the Gemara over there. Machlokas Rabbi Chiyah the Yerushalmi. Machlokas Rabbi Chiyah Bar Kapara. Rabbi Chiyah Yechayv Shtayim. The Shabbos L'Kol Nesra. Shabbos became also, Shabbos is also for everybody. Ukshahutra B'Mikdash Hutra Ach L'Kohanim V'Lo L'Zarim. Elamai, there was a heter for the Yisra of Shechita B'Shabbos, and that heter was only for Kohanim, not for Zarim. Ulubar Kapara, Keshutra B'Mikdash, Lagamri Hutra. But according to Bar Kapara, no, there is no Yisra of Shechita B'Mikdash. And therefore, the only Yisra you have is an Yisra of Zarus. That machlokas is mentioned in the Talmud Bavli, Maseches Yevamos as well, but here's what the Yerushalmi adds. Says the Yerushalmi in the underlying section over there, El Dibu Yerushalmi, Sham, Hosef, Lahavi, Beplukta Zos. Rabbi Chiya Amar Labar Kapara. Rabbi Chiya, who says that you're chayiv both for the Shabbos and for being a Zar, says to Bar Kapara v'zel Shono, Hare tevel ad shalo nitkan asur lazeh u lazeh, misha nitkan asur lazarim u mutzul kohanim. He says, well, think about tevel. Before you do anything to tevel, it's asur for a non-kohen and a kohen alike, right? Afterwards, it remains usher to the Yisrael, and it becomes mutter to the Kohanim. What's his raya? So he explains in the parentheses, Pirish, to Maisi raya, the law of Rinan Kashuhutra Lakalhutra. When things become mutter, you don't have to say that they're mutter for everybody, that it's an all-out heter. You want to tell me, if Shechita was permitted in the Beis HaMikdash, it must be that it was permitted for everybody, that you wouldn't have a local heter only for Kohanim. I'll tell you, look at Tevel. Tevel is an Issur Lakol, and it becomes mutter, but who does it become mutter for when it becomes Truma? Only Kohanim. Maybe the same is true by Shechita. Shechita's usher for everybody to do on Shabbos, but in the Mikdash it becomes mutter, not for everybody, only for Kohanim. So Gama Truma V'Afel became Lohutra L'Kol Rak L'Kohanim. So Amar Lei, Bar Kaparis is back to Rabbi Chia, Shan Yehi D'Ksiv V'Kol Zor Lo Yochal Kodesh. He says, no, by Tevel also it really becomes mutter for everybody, but then there's a new Isser of Kol Zor Lo Yochal Kodesh that comes on it. Meaning, Tevel became totally mutter when you made it into Truma. The Truma's totally mutter. Elamai, once it became Truma, there's a new Isser that kicked in. Not the same Isser of Tevel, a new Isser kicked in. What's that Isser? An Isser of Azar eating Truma. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, brilliant. Our Chakira of how do you view Truma, is it an extension of Tevel or is it its own standalone Isser, is exactly the Machloka as Rabbi Chia and Bar Kapara. Rabbi Chia says that when Tevel became mutter, it only became mutter for a Kohen and remained Aser for Yisrael, which means what? Remained Aser for Yisrael. It means it's the same Isser. It's the Isser of Truma to Azar is an extension of the same Isser of Tevel. It remained Aser for Yisrael. Bar Kapara's response, no, when Tevel is when you separate Truma from Tevel, Tevel goes away. It's Hutul Akol, the whole Isser went away. Aye, why is Truma Aser to Azar? Nothing to do with Tevel. It's a brand new Isser. It's got absolutely nothing to do with Tevel. That's the Machlokas from Chiyan Bar Kapara. This Chakira that he started with, that he had a Raya one way from the Tos and Yavamas, a Raya the other way from the Gemara and Zvachim, here you have its clear Machlokas in the Yerushalmi. Okay, maybe we'll stop with that. It's enough to process, I guess, for now. He then gives two other possible sources to be poshet this chakira. Maybe we'll discuss this just a little bit more tomorrow, and then we'll move on to the next issues, to Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, outside of Yerushalayim, things of that nature as well. Okay.